Welcome back. I want to share with you guys this morning something very important as we continue our study in living in the Saturday of life between the Friday of salvation and the Sunday of resurrection. Living in the time period God has placed us on this earth. From the time we get saved by the blood of Jesus to the time our body is resurrected again in the new heaven and the new earth. I so look forward to that. But yet, in the meantime, I have to deal with life. And I remember teaching a couple weeks ago when we talked about our thought life. And I remember putting out to you guys, what's the question that people ask me is, Joe, in your 30 years of ministry, what keeps people stuck? And I, without hesitation, would say their thought life, their self-talk. And we talked about that. But if you were to ask me today, hey, Joe, in your 30 years of ministry, what is the hardest thing for God's kids to do? And I would say this, again, without hesitation, to truly forgive those who have harmed them. Now, we talk about forgiveness oftentimes in Christianity because it is a character trait we have been given from God. You know, when God made us, He gave us character traits or character images of Him. It tells us in Genesis 1:26 that God said this. He said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And that's what an image is. It's a likeness. It's a reflection. It's a commonality. God has put into us character traits that mirror His. And even in our most fallen state, we still bear the fingerprint. We still bear a little of the image, marred as it is, of the living God. It has been put into our design. Now, God, used in that verse, is used over 2,000 times in the Bible, and it speaks of Elohim. It's the Hebrew word, that Elohim, which means the uniplurality of God, the singular pluralness of God, which we would call in our day and age the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is one, yet more than one. God is made up of three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they are relational. God's essence is relationship. That's why we are told in Scripture that God is love. Love always has to have an object. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit love each other, though they are distinct in their personality. They love each other so much and are intertwined with each other so much they are one. So, God in making us called a meeting, the uniplurality meeting, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And said, we want to design creatures that are similar to us. He didn't call the angels together. He didn't call any other creation, the animals or anything else. He called into creation human beings. And we have the character image of God. And one of those character traits is the ability to forgive, is the ability to be a peacemaker. Now, God never has to forgive God because they do nothing. Well, they cannot sin. They do nothing that hurts one another. They are always unified and in harmony. But for human beings to have successful relationship with God, God has to be able to forgive us. And for human beings to have successful relationships with other human beings, we have to have the character image trait of God of the ability to forgive. It is vital. Those who cannot forgive suffer. We think forgiveness is oftentimes about the other person when in reality it's a healing balm for us. Now, after God called this meeting and designed human beings, and we failed in our ability to seek forgiveness from God, to deal with our sin. And God, throughout the whole Old Testament, covers sin. But it was never removed. And so, what was Jesus known as? He was known as a peacemaker. He made peace between us and God. He created the ability to give peace to us so that we may be peacemakers. Listen to what Isaiah 9 says about Jesus. It says, "For a child is born to us and a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulder." So he will rule. "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor." This is the way he rules. He counsels. And he's a wonderful counselor. He's effective. "Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And his government and its peace will never end. Do you know what God also gave us the ability to be? Peacemakers. If Jesus is called our oldest brother and he's the Prince of Peace, what does that make you and me? Makes us prince and princesses of peace. We are peacemakers in the world. But peacemaking cannot take place without forgiveness of wounds. Listen to what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 5:9. He said this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." That's an image-bearing statement. When I am a peacemaker, well, why does God want his children to be called peacemakers? Well, look around. We're always warring. We war on the personal level. I get wounded, I wound. We war on the global level, the national level, the state level. There's always warring going on. So in order to quell that, you need peacemakers. People who seek peace and make it. Not fake it, make it. And in order to be a peacemaker, you also have to bear the image of God in the ability to forgive. Because without forgiveness, it is impossible to be at peace with people. Why is this peace so important? Because in this world, we will experience conflict, hurt, trouble, wounding. We will find ourselves, because of our relationships with others that go south, at war with people. Interpersonally, because war making is the opposite of peacemaking. In John 16:33, Jesus said this. It's important to be a peacemaker because of this verse. Verse 33 says, "I have told you all this, that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. You will be wounded a lot. But take heart, because I have overcome the world." You know there will be troubles and trials and battles in the Saturday of life, and you expect them, you are halfway to being a peacemaker. What surprises me often is people expect to have relationships with people, then are amazed and stunned when those people do something to hurt us. You know what I tell people all the time when I perform a wedding? I said, one of the best qualities you can have as a spouse is to be a good forgiver. And the reason for that is because you are marrying a flawed person. And you yourself are a flawed person. And you will be a flawed person all the way through your marriage. So if you cannot forgive and practice the art of peacemaking, you will have great trouble in your marriage, and perhaps it will even end. He says, take heart, Jesus said in that verse. Be strong. I've overcome the world. I know how to forgive. I know how to make peace. That's how you overcome the troubles of the world. So what does peacemaking look like? It looks like forgiveness. Just as God forgives us, bringing peace between God and man, we are peace, or to be peacemakers with others. Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray one day, and he said this to them. Matthew 6, verses 12 and a few more verses. He said, when you pray, say this, and forgive us our sins. Forgive us the places, the times, the ways in which we fall short. That's what sin means. It means to fall short. He says, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Just as much forgiveness as I get, God, I'm asking you to forgive me as much. Then he says, and don't let us yield to temptation. What kind of temptation? Not forgive. To hold and maintain war with people. He says, but rescue us from the evil one who started the war between God and man and between man and man. He says, and then he goes on to say this, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Without forgiveness, there is no peace between God and me. When I refuse to forgive someone and I go to God and say, God, forgive me for my sins, he goes, nah, you know what? You and me are not at peace in that area. That doesn't have nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with relationship between beings, me and God and me and others. Why? Because if I cannot make peace, if I cannot forgive others, and sometimes we can't make peace, but we can always forgive. If I cannot forgive them, I am not bearing the image of the God I proclaim to be at peace with. And yet I'll ask him to forgive me. That makes me a hypocrite. And God goes, nah, I can't really forgive that. You need to deal with it. And that's what he means by saying, I can't forgive it. You need to deal with it. And you need to get that part right. Without forgiveness, there is no peace between God and people and between people and people. So how do we forgive? And I'm going to spend the bulk of the time on this, and then I'm going to give you an example. How do we forgive? Well, the first step to forgiving is to have the mindset to give up any hope of having a better past. You know why a lot of people struggle in doing forgiveness? They want that person to hurt like they were hurt by that person. And we can be talking years ago. I want justice or at least revenge. I want them to feel it. And so I get stuck and I don't forgive them because in my mindset, I often carry the idea that if I forgive them, that means they get away with it. So if I only could change the past, I'd be okay now. When I am stuck in the past, it affects my present and my future. So give up the hope of ever having a better past. Quit fantasizing about redoing our past, because if only this happened in the past, I'd have a better future. If only that wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't have been damaged, and I'd have a better present. And I'd have a better future. If only I wasn't wounded back then. What you're really talking about is I'm still blaming what happened then on everything that happens in my present life and in my future life. Forgiveness frees us from that. Forgiveness doesn't change your past. It frees you from living under the bondage of the wound. And many of us get stuck in that place. Listen, peacemaking, forgiveness, is leaving revenge or punishment up to God. With God, nobody gets away with anything. We will all answer to God, either as those forgiven or as those who will reap what their sins deserve. Paul leaves us this comfort. When he speaks in Romans 12:19, he says, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. Why? Because God is righteous. He knows the whole situation. One of the reasons we are told not to judge is because we do not understand the beginning and the end of a person that hurts us. We don't understand all the motivations involved. We don't understand that, but God does. Just like people that we hurt don't understand all the things in our life, all the things that have brought us to the place we are and to cause us to do what we do. Only God knows that complete past and knows our complete motivations. Only He has clarity into everything about a person. So He is the one that can judge righteously. He says, listen, for the scripture says this, I will take revenge. I know how to do that. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Now listen, I want to clarify one thing here. Sometimes people have to go to prison for things they've done. I can still forgive them. That doesn't mean justice on this earth can't take place. God never called us to be doormats to people. If you are in an abusive situation, just saying I forgive you over and over again is not right in God's eyes. You would need to get out of that situation. That is the right thing to do. Forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things. We are mandated, commanded by God, because it is in His image to forgive. Reconciliation takes both parties. For me to be reconciled to God, I have to act and change the way I relate to God. Same thing with people. I can forgive someone, but that doesn't necessarily mean me and that person are going to be buddy-buddy again. In fact, some people are dangerous, and we will never be able to reconcile to them. But I can forgive them because that's a thing that affects me. So I wanted to throw that out to you. Listen, how do I know if I've forgiven somebody? Well, this is what Romans tells us in chapter 12 that Paul wrote. Right after he said, leave them up to God to revenge, he says this, instead of seeking revenge, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. How do you know if you forgive someone? You can do those kinds of things. There, you cannot bear long with someone who has hurt you if you are still holding a grudge against them. You're not going to hang out with them. You're not going to feed them. You're not going to clothe them. You actually want something, but you might say you do, but in reality, you want them to pay some price. So when you don't forgive someone, you're most likely not going to hang with them. And like I said earlier, you might not be able to reconcile with everybody. Being a peacemaker, it tells us in Hebrews, as far as it is possible, do it. But sometimes it's not possible. You may be suffering hurts from someone that has died. You may be suffering hurts from someone that did something to you a long time ago that you cannot even connect with them. You don't even know where they're at. But it's still weighing you down. You can forgive. So why is forgiveness good for us? Because without forgiveness, it is impossible to do those verses I just read to you. You cannot bear with them long when you hold a grudge with someone. How many know that? We all know that. You'll go the opposite way. You'll do things to avoid them. Unforgiveness damages us through the birthing of the twin cancers. When you are unforgiving, when I am unforgiving, two things start to happen to me. First one is I begin to get bitter towards that person, bitter towards the experience. It starts to have a root in me. And bitterness always leads to resentment. They did me wrong. And now I start resenting them, which leads to all kinds of image disfiguring behavior. See, when those things take place in me, all the other character traits that I have in image bearing to God that He has put into me begin to get distorted. It starts to flow out of me. I start to produce the fruit of bitterness and resentment. What are those fruits? Well, let's look at a couple of them in Ephesians 4. Verse 30 tells us this, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. It's talking about forgiveness there. When you're bitter and resentful, you are grieving the Holy Spirit. He says, remember, He has identified you as His own. guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So get rid of all bitterness. That's an attitude. When you say someone's bitter, boy, that person's salty. Oh, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. There's something going on in that person. He says, then there's bitterness, which leads to rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. Those are violent actions we take against people. When we get on the phone and we start bad-mouthing people, one of the signs of an immature person is when they get hurt by someone, they tell 9 other people. Listen, he says, not only get rid of those, but as well as all types of evil behavior. You know what that means? Willfully continuing the war. I am angry at them. I'm bitter. I'm slandering them. I'm doing this. And I'm continuing to do it. Instead of being a peacemaker and a forgiver, I continue the war, which grieves the Holy Spirit, because that is not image-bearing activities. And he says this, again, instead of that, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. That's a do thing. That's an action. Just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you, mimicking our family. He said, instead of that, mimic your heavenly family. Do the things that God does. Forgiveness is choosing not to hold someone's sin against them any longer. So, one of the things that anger and bitterness create in us, and this is where we can get stuck, is it creates a victim mentality. All these things have happened to me. They have tore up my life. Therefore, my present sucks. And my future, I don't know what can happen there. You know how hard life has been to me. You know, and so all those things are weighing me down, and I'm carrying them with me. If I don't forgive, I carry the unforgiveness with me. He says this in Hebrews 12:15. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. God's got grace for us to move forward. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you and corrupting many others. Bitterness corrupts. It disfigures the image of God in us. It has nothing to do with the other person. It has everything to do with us. That bitterness, that anger, that rage, that slander, that all that stuff, it has everything to do with me, and it affects everyone around me. So what do we do? First thing we need to do is what Colossians tells us in 3:13. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Every relationship I ever enter into at this state in my walk, I know that person can hurt me. And I know they will hurt me at some time. Not even because they want to, because they're simply a fellow flawed human being. So if I go into a relationship, and this is what causes people to get stuck too, is they go into a relationship thinking, oh, this person will never hurt me. Oh, finally I found Mr. Right, Miss Perfect. Oh, this guy is my loyal buddy. And then they hurt us, and we are totally sideswiped by that. Listen, do yourself a favor. Expect to get hurt. Relationships are worth it anyway. He says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you and corrupting many, corrupting everyone around you, because it always spills out. So, if we don't make allowances for their hurts or the hurts from others, we will continually be sideswiped. Brother and sister, I'm trying to stop you from that. We must count that as part of the cost of relationship and embrace it. People are going to hurt me, and that's okay. Why? I'll forgive them. We'll talk about it. We'll reconcile. We'll move forward. That's how successful relationships work. That's how your relationship with God works. Only in our messed up thinking do we ever think, oh my gosh, I sinned. Oh, I've fallen away from God. Oh no, I'm the worst ever. Hey, Listen, he knows you're going to sin. He knows you're going to fall short. You're not surprising him. God will never say, I just never thought Joe would do that. I am amazed that Joe would do that. He expects it. Why? Because he knows what we're made of. And when you and I realize what we're all made of, don't ever lift yourself higher and thinking, you know what? I'm the perfect one in a relationship. No, you're not. You're not even perfect to yourself. I mean, listen to some of our self-talk, which we did talk about a couple weeks ago. Listen, don't develop unrealistic expectations of people. Be realistic. They're great people and they're flawed people. In fact, people that have lots of short-term relationships usually have huge problems with forgiveness. And so they develop a superficial relationship, and then when that person hurts them, they move on to another one. And they have broken relationships surrounding them. That's why I tell single people, when you start to date a new person, find out who they hang with. Go out to dinner with their friends. See what their relationship is like with their family. How do those dynamics work? Because that will tell you a lot about that person. I'll leave it there. Some of us stay in relationships. You ever seen long-term marriages that where each party simply digs trenches and throws grenades at each other, continually wounding and being wounded, never reconciling, never working through? For whatever reason, they just stay in their trench. Perhaps there's one of you in that way. Hey, you need to do something about that. Listen, if I forgive someone for hurting me, I no longer, and that's a mental exercise, allow that event to continue to play in my head, determining how I am going to treat them. When I do that, if you've ever been in a relationship and something happens and an issue comes up, and when you start to talk about that issue, the other person you're dealing with brings up 12 other issues that were done in the past, what that tells you is they haven't been forgiven. They haven't been overcome. And so that's why sometimes in relationships we just don't say nothing. Because once we try to deal with some aspect of wounding, we get all the other wounds that have ever happened. And then we get mad, we fight, we go in our corners, lick our wounds, and then try to come back until we're done. And then we just separate. Listen, if you're locked in a war of unforgiveness over past or present hurts, you have less available energy for your life now. That is why not forgiving someone is so hard on us. It takes a lot of energy to carry those weights of unforgiveness around with us. And when we forgive, we actually become lighter. And that energy that we spent in war making, in maintaining the war, at least even in our mind, maintaining that war, when I am no longer warring and my goal is to peace, guess what? I have a lot more energy to do productive things. So here's the beauty. If you forgive someone who wounded you, you are no longer at war with them. You get freedom. What does peace mean? It means freedom. Something happens inside our souls. We begin the process of healing. When a wound is exposed, healing can begin. Wounds that are not exposed, you know, this thing happened to me, I never want to talk about it again, I never want to bring it up, I just want to put it back. You're just shoving it to the side. You're still carrying it. When you bring it out, it can be exposed. Forgiving is agreeing to live with the consequences of another person's sin. This person did me wrong. They did me wrong. And it's legit. They did. And there are consequences I have to pay because of what they did. One of the reasons we don't forgive is I don't want to pay that consequence anymore. I don't want to pay that. And there in a relationship, you will, if issues are not dealt with, the next person in the relationship, what do they get? They get that former relationship, that jacket placed on them. And so now you're not just dealing with that person, you're dealing with your wounds from the past when you look at that person. But when those blinders are moved and I can begin to see someone as an individual, not as the encapsulation of all my other relationships with people, I get to have honest relationships. And I also learn how to deal with hurt, how to deal with wound, how to be a peacemaker. It just doesn't happen. I have to learn how to do that. How many people blame the wounds of their past for their present failures and their future failures that they haven't even walked into? Listen, I want to demonstrate to you right now how we forgive someone's sins so that they are removed from you and given to God. If you don't remove the sin and give it to God in forgiveness, give Him the case against them, you carry it. I brought some props today, and I'm going to show you a couple things here. Unforgiveness is like potatoes. When we are wounded, we take a weight, a potato, and we put it in the backpack of our lives. And all of us have backpacks we carry. And in those backpacks are all the wounds that have happened in our life that have not been forgiven. And I carry them. I think people don't see it. Some of us, in fact, think we carry our wounds right in front of us in another backpack. But we got that smiley face. And we act like everything's good while we got 75-pound bag of potatoes we're lugging around. And foolishly, we think people don't see it. If I fill, and I have filled this backpack with potatoes representing the numerous hurts I've had throughout my life, if I don't deal with them, how does carrying a 75-pound pack emotionally affect you? You're tired. You're weary. You're worn out. It slows your life down. You just want to get it off. And so you are leery to let other people in your life because they can hurt you. And then that's another potato in there. And you know what? I don't know if you guys have ever seen potatoes that grow roots and start to get stinky and over time. So after a while, you begin to smell. And people don't even want to be around you, because you got the bitterness growing on you and you're taking it everywhere you go. That's why forgiveness is not about the other person. It's about you. You do yourself a favor. So how does that work? Well, what you have to do is expose it, and you take it out one potato at a time. Now, some of us have these little tiny potatoes. And we, you know, everybody offends us. You know, if you got a million little potatoes in your back from all the offenses of anybody that does anything, that really says a whole lot more about you than it does about them. But all of us have some big ones. Some gnarly things that have happened to us that have had great effect on our lives. Having wounds is not really the biggest deal. The biggest deal is what those wounds do to us, how they affect the way we look at life, how they have hammered our emotions. So what is the way to healing? The scripture says we take out a potato and we give it to God. But you just don't say, I give this potato. You know, this person, Mary Lou, really hurt me, and I just give it to God. And now I'm all good. There's no real healing in that. Healing doesn't start when you say, if I have a broken arm, saying, yeah, it's broken, but, you know, it ain't that bad. See, I can still move it, kinda. No, I got to go to the doctor. I got to expose it so it can be put back in place, so it can be wrapped up, so it can be casted. And then I have to do the hard practice of rehab, of going in to physical therapy and learning to use it again. It is the exact same thing that happens to us emotionally and spiritually. God says, let's do this. So I am going to tell you how we do this. And we do it by taking out each potato. Some of you may have a bunch of them, but I can tell you right now, everybody, take a moment right now and think of a person that has harmed you greatly. And did you actually take that potato out of the backpack and do this? I am going to share with you what I did with the priest who molested me for a number of years when I was a kid. When I came to know the Lord, and it was brought to my attention that in order for the healing process to start, the pain, the hate, the hurt, the damage of what he did has to be acknowledged. That's where the healing comes. If you go, okay, I got some issues with my dad. He wasn't that good of a dad. That does nothing. But when we begin to deal with this is what happened and this is what it did in my life. And God, I give this to you. So let me take you through what happened in my life. Because see, once I deal with this, I remove that weight from me. Now I have room. And that's where I ask God to come in and heal me. Healing's a process. Forgiveness is an event. I may need to run it over many times in my head, like I've had to do with the man who murdered my daughter. But I ask God continually, I forgive him, Lord. I give him back to you. I give him to you, Lord. But God, heal me. And he has caused so much damage in so many ways. But I'm not going to deal with him today. I'm going to deal with someone else because I think this will be effective for you. I'm going to give you a way to forgive. So, when I forgive, one more point. When I forgive, something miraculous begins to happen. When I put this in God's bucket, God begins to bring healing, living water into my parched, weary, worn soul. He can bring in bandages to help heal the wounds and restore that which still bleeds, even though it can be years later. He can bring tissues and comfort us and let us know there's still a bright future. He can tell us, and he does tell us, that what happened then has no bearing in the future. You are free from the bondage of that to do what you want to do. And his plan is good for us. So, listen to this. Is there someone you're carrying around that needs to be forgiven? Let them out of your backpack and let the healing really begin to take place. I do myself a favor to lighten the load of potatoes I carry. So, I'm going to give you a little background, and then I'm going to tell you the process I went through to forgive this man, and which started the process of healing a couple decades ago. And today, I think there's just scars. And that's the beautiful part of healing. I'm scarred, but it's not bleeding anymore. It's not getting over every part of my life anymore. I'm not bleeding on other people. I'm not always picking at the wound and ruminating about it. Because that's really what it is. When I bring out my potato, and that's what we do. We ruminate with the potato. After a while, I pick it out and oh, I remember. Oh, God. And we start mentally going over all the junk again. God wants to free us of that, so that that energy can be used for productive things. A little background. In the OC Weekly, dated October 27, 2005, in an article describing how the Archdiocese of Los Angeles at the time hid pedophile priest in Orange County. They took him from there and they put him here. There was a list in the OC Weekly article of the worst offenders, and in that list was the priest who molested me. And I quote a little bit of the article to you now. The October 11, 2005 release by the Catholic Archdiocese of Los Angeles records on 176 suspected child raping priests adds new evidence that church officials played hide the pedophile for decades. The documents provide graphic proof that Orange County Catholic Church officials accepted, tolerated, and sometimes conspired to hide known pedophiles before and after OC split to form its own diocese in 1976. Here are six of the LA OC worst cases. Well, in that article, the priest that molested me headed up that list. So I needed to forgive the church in general too. But I want to walk you through the forgiveness, or my forgiveness, of Father B as an example for you. And my hope is it will help you if you have forgiveness issues yet undealt with. Know this, God wants to heal you, and healing is possible, and it is real. So when I went through the healing process, I did this. Lord, I forgive Father B for molesting me and how that messed with my mind and heart. I forgive him for taking advantage of an emotionally troubled child. That would be me. By making me believe he cared for me and manipulating me to feel like I was special, when in reality, he was setting me up for his own evil purposes. I forgive him for robbing me of my childhood innocence. I forgive him for abusing his position of religious authority to fool my family into thinking he cared for us and was an upright man. I forgive him for misrepresenting Jesus to me and representing him as a condoner of abuse. I forgive him for forming the belief in me that Jesus was a weakling with no power to control his own people. I forgive Father B for turning me away from Jesus and his church and his ways. I forgive him for confusing me about God, for blurring good and evil and right and wrong. I forgive Father B for making me think all Christians are fake hypocrites. I forgive him for making me feel sick and dirty and confusing me in my sexuality. I forgive him for filling me with shame and guilt, a shame and guilt I had no knowledge of beforehand. I forgive him for making me feel less than and not good enough, and the belief that something was seriously wrong with me for this to happen. I forgive him for the devastation of my self-worth and establishing a long inner struggle of low self-worth and of feeling less than others. I forgive him for the suffocating fear of anyone finding out and introducing me to living a double life, which fragmented my mind and broke my spirit. I forgive him for making me carry this dark secret that crushed me and for learning to compartmentalize in my mind, to disassociate reality, which caused me great problems in the future. I forgive him for being a prime instigator of my distrust of and rebellion against authority of all kinds. I forgive him for causing such a deep wound in my life that I was easy prey and attracted to the anesthetizing and pain-reducing lure of alcohol and drugs. They freed my mind. They put me at a peaceful place, fake as it was. It did help for a season. I forgive him, though he never said nor was sorry. And then after I stated all the things that those acts did to me and how it affected the way I looked at life, how it affected the way I looked at me, how it affected the way I looked at God, I prayed, God, this is what it did to me. I prayed, Lord, I forgive him, and I surrender revenge and resentment and bitterness, and I give up my right to hurt him for hurting me, and I leave him to you to judge. I pray that you will help him. Now I ask you that you please heal the damaged places in me because of him, and free me from this bondage of bitterness, revenge, and low self-worth. And Jesus, now that I forgive him, I choose to take responsibility for my life. I choose to not blame him anymore for my present decisions and actions and my future choices. I take back responsibility for my life. In your name, God, I pray. Now, once forgiveness is offered and our heart wounds are exposed and we pour out the grief and the pain, right there something happens in our hearts, which is we open a space that God can now come in because we give them to God. We open a place that God can now start the healing process, remaking us, as James says, whole and complete and not lacking anything. Oh, the scar's still there, but the wound isn't gaping anymore. Wounds go deep, but God's healing goes deeper. Your wound will become the means to lighten the burden of the pain and suffering of others. That is one of the great benefits of it. Not only does healing happen in me, but I wound less. And now I can help others deal effectively with their wounds. Because you know what happens a lot? We're all hiding our wounds. We're all hiding these wounds behind our smiley faces. Everything's good while I'm broken on the inside. When I can be real and transparent, and when I'm healed, I know what it does. I know the pain, the grief. I can understand another person. And what I can do, I can help them make peace. Some of us need to take out the big potato we hold against ourselves. I had to forgive myself for not finishing school. There were so many things I had to forgive myself. Because some of us, oh, we can forgive others. But when it comes to us, oh, no, no, that's such a bad thing. I'll never overcome it. That's a lie. If God can forgive you, who are you to not forgive yourself? You may need to take out a potato on you. Listen. What were once deep wounds become scars. Indicators of past hurts. No longer do they have the power to negatively influence me. If I have a wound, that wound influences me in everything I do. But once it's healed and it's only a scar, you ever notice scars don't hurt? It doesn't affect me like it used to. Oh, I can point to it. I can remember what it is. Forgiving isn't forgetting. I can remember, but it lost its power. And now God can deal with that person. That helps another person navigate through their pain, which makes us image bearers of God as peacemakers. Make peace with your past. Make peace with those who wound you. Make peace between you and God. Make peace between yourself and your life. Gets lighter. The backpack is lighter. Don't keep many potatoes back there. Deal with them. So today, we can leave our homes, wherever we're listening to this and watching this, we can leave here knowing that true forgiveness can happen. And you can be healed from past wounds. How? Write the individual's name down. Acknowledge what they did and what did it cause in you. And how it impacted your life. And forgive them for that. And then give them to God to judge. And then ask God to heal your damaged emotions because of those things. And healing starts. It starts with forgiveness. It ends with forgiveness. That is the whole reason Jesus went to the cross. He paid the consequence of our sins. He lived with it. And he died for it. But he created forgiveness. That's why nobody's sin is too great to be forgiven. And nobody that sins against you is too much to be forgiven. You may think it might be, but if you know me, you know what we've gone through and how we have struggled to walk in forgiveness. Every day I ask God to heal places in me. Heal places in me from the wounds. And God, don't let me be that bitter, angry, violent word person or violent in any other way towards human beings. I don't want to do it. So heal me that I may be a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. Then God turns us as we become peacemakers in our own being. Now we're equipped to be peacemakers to the world. So you and I, we live in turbulent times. Some of you need to make peace with the government. Some of you have lost jobs over this whole COVID thing. And you're angry and you're bitter. And I get it. You've been hurt. Deal with that in the ways I've just told you. And you will see the God of all comfort will bless you. And he will then use you to help others. So my brothers and sisters, this morning as I leave you, I want you to know this. Healing is not only possible, it's absolutely doable. And I've given you a way to do it. And I take many people through the steps of freedom, through forgiveness. And we sometimes have 4 or 5 pages of people that have wounded them. And we go through each one. And I'll tell you what, they are transformed. So if you need some help with that, I'd be willing to sit down with you and help you navigate some forgiveness. And you will find a freedom, perhaps for the first time you've ever walked in to that degree. Listen, for you people that are in addiction, addiction is all about anesthetizing pain. You remove the pain, guess what? Addiction tends to fall away. I don't need to take medications if I'm healed illegally. And I need to embrace what has been done and acknowledge it so I can be free. Amen? Let me pray for you guys. God, I just pray for my brothers and sisters right now and anybody watching here. I pray for whatever was triggered in them in their own world of life, in their own backpack of people who have hurt them, in the potatoes that they still carry. Some of them have been carrying them for years, God. And they're stinky and their roots are everywhere and they've become entwined. Lord, free them. Give them the courage to get free. And I pray and thank you in advance for that in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. See you soon.